So with that, I'm going to turn this over, and it is my honor to introduce Shelley, or Professor Sheldon Krimsky, who I had a wonderful several years of teaching with at Tufts. He is a professor of urban and environmental policy at Tufts University. His research is focused on the linkage between science, technology, ethical values, and public policy. He is the author of 6 books, including a recent book entitled Hormonal Chaos. He was a consultant to the President's Commission for the Study of Ethical Problems in Medicine and Biomedical and Behavioral Research, and to the Congressional Office of Technology. Please welcome Sheldon Krimsky.
In my short time, I have 3 things I'd like to raise with you. First, I'd like to discuss the background behind the changes in the industry support of university research and how it's been shaping in the last couple of decades. Second, I'd like to talk about the impact of these changes on the GNRP, that's the Gross National Research Product of the universities, and of major research universities. And third, I'd like to talk about briefly about the effects of these changes of industrial funding on the university on the impacts on scientific research, all in a few minutes. So let me start then with the background, and we can put the first slide on. Many of you may be familiar with some of the policies that the government has issued since 1980, over 2 decades. These policies have been responsible for the creation of partnerships between industry and universities. As a matter of fact, the government has tried to create as many incentives as possible to open up the universities for industrial colonization, research partnerships. And as a result, you can see, for example, in 1980, the patenting of genes made it possible for every molecular geneticist who was doing any sequencing to be an entrepreneur, because every sequence was worth a patent. So that opened up a great amount of entrepreneurship in all of modern molecular genetics. We go on to the next one. In 1980, the tax laws were changed to create incentives for industry to invest in universities. I'm not going to go through all of them, but the one that should be highlighted is the Bayh-Dole Act, because that was the case where the government said that when we give government funds for research, we would like the university to be able to take those funds and then partner with a private company. So basically, we will sell out the developments of privately funded research so that private companies and a university can profit for them. And that's created an enormous incentives for companies to engage with universities. So public policy has had a major effect in creating the rapid commercialization of university science. Now, some of the impacts of this. Can I have the second slide, please? This second slide, it's a lot of data. It's fairly new. I just generated it myself from the National Science Foundation raw information. The first 10 universities are the top industrially funded universities, and I threw in Harvard at the bottom, which is not in the top 10 industrially funded, because I figured since this is the host institution, I should have some comparative statistics. But you'll notice in the top 10 universities, the percent change of industry-funded R&D between 1992 and 1999 for Duke University, which is the leader, was 280%, which was the change of the industry R&D. And the change of the total R&D over that period was 84%. And you can see on the right column, it represents the total percentage of industry R&D over the total R&D. And for a place like Duke, that's 34% of its budget, of its GNRP, is now industry-funded. You'll see at the bottom that Harvard is only 3.6%. So depending upon whether you see this as a positive or a negative, there's some interesting implications here. A number of the other universities also have percentages of rises that are well above the 100% figure. Can you put the next slide on, which I think has some more visual graphics? Those graphs represent the percent changes in industry versus university R&D, and you can see the solid line represents the changes in industry-funded R&D, and you can see the enormity of those changes, and based upon, as I said, some of the public policies and some of the initiatives of the university. And the next slide, please. Finally, this third of a series here shows the percent of industry-funded R&D in universities compared to the total R&D. And you can see, again, 35% for Duke. MIT is at the 17% figure. Georgia Tech Institute, close to 25%. And these figures are rising. So now the next question is, what's the significance of having more of your R&D come from outside the university? Here I'd like to put up a few slides now. The government began to get concerned about this in the 1980s. There were a few hearings. Is science for sale conflicts of interest versus the public interest? Please put up the next one. Are scientific misconduct and conflicts of interest hazardous to our health? The past decade has shown an enormous concern about the conflicts of interest that have arisen in university research, and the government constantly is trying to pass new regulations or new standards for this. Pass the next one, please. This is a study that was done by David Blumenthal of Harvard University. It gives you an idea of what some of the impacts are of these collaborations. This is a study, New England Journal, in which 30% reported, these are 210 senior executives, 30% reported that conflicts of interest developed when the academic institutions became involved with another company. 12% reported that there had been misconduct, concerned that there had been misconduct in the research. More than 50% said the research they supported in universities is often or sometimes a confidential trade secrets to protect proprietary information. And many reported that students had to keep the information confidential. Next slide, please. So you see some of the media articles. Gifts to science researchers have strings attached. Next, please. And now we begin to see the bottom line here. Are we going to be seeing bias in the research that is eventually populated by industry funding? Many people have argued that science stands beyond this type of thing, that scientists pursue the truth independent of where their research funding comes from. But there is a small body of research that's beginning to show that the funding for the research does seem to matter. These studies are primarily in the area of drugs, pharmaceuticals, because it seems to be easier to do that work for those studies because there's a lot of repetitive studying that goes on in the drug sector. So in this case, we have bias in drug studies. One of the most important studies was the study on calcium channel antagonists, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, 1998. Next slide, please. That was discussed in this particular article. In that case, what the authors did was they studied scientists, medical researchers, who studied calcium channel antagonists, but who fit into two categories, some who were funded by industry and some who were funded by non-private sectors. And they found there was quite a significant difference in how those individuals, scientists, came out on these particular drugs. And it indicated at least one of the explanations that accounts for this is that the support by private corporations for drug testing can affect one's interpretation of the data or of the outcome of the research. Is that the last? Yeah. So there's a number of other studies from 1972 to 1996. There have been 10 studies done looking at prescribing behavior of doctors and where they get their information about drugs. All 10 studies in that period of time have shown a correlation between getting information from commercial sources and less appropriate prescribing behavior. So there is a body of research that's building up, which indicates that the source of funding can matter, and if you start to increase the GNRP of the major universities and tip them toward much more private interest, we may see major changes in the type of research we're going to get.